Mishnah Yomis for Monday, the third day of Adar Aleph, Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Ksubas Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Hey. Beis Din have permission, authority to sell the properties of the estate that are held by the orphans if they need to supply maintenance for the widow or to pay for a ksuba, or to pay for debts of the deceased, and such the like. How was such a sale done? It was done preceded by a hachroza, by an announcement. These properties are about to be sold by Beis Din. And the announcements, the proclamations, would allow people a chance to come and inspect those properties. And the announcement would be called, therefore, Igeres Bikoris. It would be called the letter of inspection, or the announcement of inspection. Then there are certain properties of the estate which Beis Din would sell without any announcement, without any prior hachroza. Servants, metaltalim, chattels, shtoros. And then there were certain reasons for the sale that were again done without a hachroza. For example, if it was necessary to supply mezonos, food, or burial. And there are certain places where they didn't do any hachroza at all, so Beis Din just would sell it. After we learnt in the previous Mishnah what tolerance there is for Oinah, for any underselling or overselling by the widow, we now come to talk about what tolerance is there for mistakes made in selling the properties of the Somim by Beis Din. Shumah Dayanin, evaluations of the properties of the orphans that was done by Beis Din in order to sell and to pay the almana her ksuba or to pay the creditor his debts. Shepochasur shtus, and the valuation turned out to be underestimated the properties by a sixth of their value. Oisipushtus, or overestimated by a sixth of the value. Michron bottle. Even though the sale was done by Beis Din, the sale is null and void. If it was done, if the mistake was less than a sixth of the value, then the sale would be valid. And that's because the Beis Din, the power of Beis Din who sell, is stronger than the power of a shliach, where there's little tolerance or zero, or an almana or a widow. There, they have the tolerance of a mistake is one dinner, as we learned in the previous Mishnah. Some say even less than a dinner, but here it's a shtus. It's 1/6 is the tolerance. The Gemara explains that we're talking here about things or time or a place where there was no hachroza of a Beis Din, there was no announcement of the Beis Din. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Michron Kaim, he says that the power of a Beis Din is that even if they made a mistake in the value of in an order of a sixth or more, the sale will still be valid if it's done by Beis Din. Im Kain, if that's the case, if we say that a mistake, even a shtus, if we say that the mistake of Beis Din, that is a shtus, is going to be null and void, makoach Beis Din yofa. Where is the power of Beis Din? How great is the power of Beis Din? In other words, it's not so great. So therefore, Shimon Gamliel says, no, we will tolerate even a level that's higher than a shtus. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is like the Tana Kama, that there is a limit, and up to a shtus, up to 1/6. Now, so far we've talked about properties that were sold without a previous inspection or without a previous announcement. If Beis Din sold the property by a full advertisement, by advertising the property for sale, announcing it for sale, giving people a chance to inspect the property and make their own evaluations, then even if they sold a property worth 100 dinar, they sold it for 200, which is a mistake of 100%. They sold a property worth 200 dinar for only 100 dinar. Again, they made a mistake. They halved the price. They underestimated the price by half. Michron kiyam. The sale will still be valid, even according to the Tana Kama. Why? Because the sale was done with a prior hachroza, with a prior announcement, so that no one can say they were cheated. They had perfect time to inspect it and make their own valuations. Mishnah Vav. I'm going to learn about some cases where the woman is the wife is not going to get a ksuba, and also not even going to get recompensed for any fruits that the husband have enjoyed from the properties. Says and further laws about mezonos, about sustenance. Hammimo enes, a woman who gives meon, literally refuses to stay. She refuses to be with her husband. Now, we're talking about a minor who has been orphaned from her father. She's been married off by her mother or her brother. And she can leave the marriage while she's still a ketana just by refusing. She has the ability to, as long as she's still a minor. She doesn't even need a get. She just exits the household, that's it. And there's no marriage. Hashniya, or a woman who is a second, we call it second degree incestuous relationships. It's a shnia la rois. These are prohibited relationships by the rabbis, not minatora, and they were made in order to keep a person away from a isur arroyos of the Torah. For example, a grandmother, a daughter-in-law of a son. Well, these are prohibited by the rabbis. V'ha'ailanis, or if and we're talking about a case where a man did marry, the wife is forbidden under a shnia, not min ha'Torah, but min rabbanan also. V'ha'ailanis, or a woman who is not capable of giving birth, she's masculine in the, that's why we use the word ailanis, the root is ail, like a male. She hasn't got the signs of a woman, so she's more masculine in body, and there's no way she's going to have child. And we're talking about a case where the husband didn't know about it, so he got a, you know, now all of a sudden he's facing an ailanis. All these women, ain lahem ksuba. They will not get a ksuba when they exit the marriage. The ma'anis, the one who just walks out of the marriage and refuses, she's a minor. She has no ksuba because she was not divorced by her husband. She went of her own accord, left the house, so she doesn't get a ksuba. Shnia, second degree, the prohibition, where a man has married a woman that was prohibited by the rabbis. No ksuba. The Chachamim wanted to give strength, reinforce their decree. So they said that if someone disobeys it, they're not going to get the ksuba. And then you have the islandess. Why is the islandess not getting a ksuba? Because it's what we call a mekach tos. We say that the husband of an islandess was tricked. We say he didn't expect to have an islandess for a wife. And since he didn't realize that, and now all of a sudden he ends up an islandess, he can say, well, this is not the woman that I thought I was marrying. And therefore, she doesn't get a ksuba if he divorces her. The Gemara explains that it's only the primary obligation of the ksuba she doesn't get, like the 100 for an almana or the 200 for a psula, that she doesn't get. But the extra that a husband wanted to bring into the marriage, we call that Tosefes ksuba, that they were entitled to. Why? Because that's a gift. When a husband gives Tosefes ksuba, that's a gift, it's a matana. And that's because of the chibah, the affection that he has for when he marries in the first place, that he still has to pay. It's an obligation that he put on himself in addition to the ksuba, that they still get. V'loy peiros. What else do these women not get, these wives? A husband does not have to give them peiros, payment for any fruits that he ate while they were married from their properties. V'loy mezonos. Nor is he chayiv, nor is he obligated to supply food, to sustenance for them. The Gemara explains that it's all where we can understand it in the case of the Eilanis and the Shnia. She was never allowed to be married to him in the case of the Shnia. And the Eilanis, he was tricked, or not tricked, but it was a mekach tos, was a purchase, a mekach that was made in error, in mistake, when he was Mekadisha. So they don't get the peiros, they don't get the fruits, so they don't get mezonos. But what about the islandess, the moenis, the woman who gave meon? Why? What does it mean she hasn't got mezonos? The halacha is that while she's married to him, he is chayv to give her mezonos. This minor, he has to give her food. The Gemara explains we're talking about a case where the husband went away, and this minor, this his wife who was under the age of 12, she needed food, so she borrowed from people. And she ate food. She borrowed. Now she built up a debt. And then afterwards, she got up and she walked out of the marriage. She did meon. The husband is not obligated to pay her debts and to pay the money that she had to borrow and get out of it. V'loy b'lois. Nor does the husband have to recompense b'lois. B'lois means used up. That means when the husband has used up the properties until there's basically nothing left, he's not obligated to repay. Doesn't have to pay the value. Now, the Gemara explains that the din of b'lois, even though we say here that he doesn't have to make up for them, it's not as simple, it's not a straightforward halacha in all three cases. In fact, there's a different law applicable to each of these three women. In the case of the Mema'enas, the woman or the girl who walks out of the marriage and says, I refuse to be the husband, which she can do until she's 12, she does not get any blows, she does not get recompensed for any of the properties or clothing or whatever that the husband used up, whether it's nichse milug or nichse tzenabazel. The husband is not obligated to pay her for those properties that were used up while he was using them. The shnia means that the woman who is prohibited midrabanon, she does not get recompensed for properties he's used up, for assets that he's used, if it's nichse milug. If it's properties that he only had the right to literally pluck to have the fruits of them, but he had no control over the buying and selling of them, he doesn't have to guarantee the value, that she will not get recompensed. But nichse tzon barzel, things that he has to guarantee the capital value of, and he's been eating the fruits of those properties, and he has used those properties, tzon barzel, to the degree that there's nothing left of them, that he has to recompense. Eilonis does not get blois, he does not have to recompense what he used of her tzon or barzel if he used those properties and used them up completely. But nichse milug, yes, he will have to pay. Nichse milug, those properties that he's used up, he will have to recompense, he will to compensate to the eilonis. Some say that, argue with this, they say that the eilonis is really like the ma'anis, the same din, that she doesn't get recompensed for anything, not from nichse milug or nichse tzon barzel, whatever the husband used up, he does not have to pay it back. It's the same as the manus, according to some. The im mitchila, continues the Mishnah, the im mitchila nasa'a l'shem alnis. Now, so far we talked about the alnis, the woman who can't have children. She's got she's got masculine signs, and she's no way she's going to have children. Some say that the Mishnah says that if right at the beginning of marriage he knew that she was an eilonis, and he still agreed to marry her, then yesh lo ksuba. She's got the full entitlements of ksuba. He can't say, oh, well, if I would have known, I wouldn't have married her. Yeah, you did. You knew. And similarly, she gets the fruits. He has to pay back any fruits of that he's enjoyed if he now divorces her. And mezonos and sustenance and blois and anything that is used up of the property, he will have to recompense. However, says the Mishnah, almona lekohen gadol, a kohen gadol who married a widow, which is awesome in our Torah, grusha b'chalutza lekohen hedyot, if an ordinary kohen marries a divorcee or marries a chalutza, chamamzeres on a nesina l'Yisrael, if Israel marries a mamzeres, which is prohibited by the Torah, and a nesina are those of the Givonites who were given. Nesina means literally given. They were given to be water drawers and woodchoppers. Again, they're not allowed to get married to Israel. Or bas Israel, or the other way around, it's a Jewish girl who was married by sin. Let nosin ula mamzer. All of these yeshlan ksuba, they will still get a ksuba when they're divorced, and they will get fruits, and they get the that he used up, or mezonos, food, or blois, and any properties that he's worn out with and used up. Why? Why are we less strict in these isurim, which are min ha-Torah, than those which are bonah? And the reason is because since these women are also min ha-Torah, or this man would also min ha-Torah to be married, therefore, we say, Divrei Torah enam tzrichim chizuk. Words of things, Osman HaTorah, don't need to be reinforced. So the rabbis didn't feel any need to make any penalties and to say, she's not going to get the ksuba, she's not going to get mezonos, etc. When it comes to, however, things which are also midrabanon, we call shnias la'rois, Divrei Soferim need chizuk. The words of the rabbis needed reinforcing. And to reinforce their decrees, the rabbis did enforce penalties, and said that they will not be entitled to the ksuba and the other things we mentioned in this Mishnah. Although there is one exception, that is the case of the chalutza. A divorcee is not allowed to marry, is not allowed to be married to a kohen min haTorah, but a chalutza, a woman who's had chalitza done, she can marry a kohen. So why is that? Why is she included among the isur midrash min haTorah? Some say it's because that they say that the chalutza is treated like a grusha in this respect. She is considered like a grusha, like a divorcee. And the rabbis didn't feel a need to make a takana, reinforcing it. And others say that the chalutza will indeed be have the same din as a shnia, and she will, and they will make reinforce the decree with all these with these restrictions. But why is chalutza mentioned together with grusha? It's because the Tana usually puts the two together, but in fact it doesn't really mean to include them together here. It's just because grusha chalutza became a common phrase whenever they talked about the prohibition for a kohen, they put them together. But in fact, the chalutza, according to this opinion, will be subject to the same harsh laws as a shnia or the other second degree isur rabbanan.